High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It's 7:22. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning. Many of us, of course, watching the events yesterday, watching these three young women returning, the hostages returning to their families, into the arms of their mothers. And it's absolutely unimaginable, the suffering that everybody has endured, most of all, of course, these women. How do they, and do they ever really integrate back into society? Do they ever trust again? Do they even stand a chance of living a life that is semi-normal and free of nightmares? Soren Kaplan is a clinical psychologist. A very good morning to you this Monday morning after a very, very emotionally charged weekend.
Morning, Howard. Good to be with you this morning.
So the weekend, of course, was, as we watched these scenes, our own emotions were running high. It's hard to imagine what the families of the hostages, as well as the girls themselves, were going through.
Absolutely. Howard, I think we all were party to such an emotionally charged time in the events that led up to their release. That these are names and faces that have been, you know, foremost in our vision, their names on our lips for 471 days, 15 months of this. So, of course, a very historic, very miraculous event, and for all of us, very high on that reliefometer. We know in Torah terms that redeeming captives is considered a major mitzvah. But right from the get-go, let's not forget that Jews have a very complex history of names being either on or off a list. So it really harks back to Holocaust themes where, you know, these sorts of things loom very, very large in our collective memory. Such an agonizing decision for Israel, such moral complexity, such a painful compromise had to be made, a deal with the devil, as you if you like, you know, 92-3. And what we're really seeing is sort of humans being traded, almost bartered and used as bargaining chips in a transactional way. So this is the first layer that the hostages are coming in with. You know, we know that, you know, this is a person-changing event. It's a life shock for these people and very, very high on the trauma Richter scale. Howard, if we start with just the physical complexities, you know, health teams have been mobilized, the health ministry, the hostage family forum, after the last ceasefire in November 2023, came to expect a whole lot of physical things from that they assessed at Sheba Tel HaShomer Medical Center, the cardiovascular, the respiratory, the, you know, so many vitamin deficiencies, the refeeding syndrome that needs to be rolled out. And, you know, these hostages, we can't forget, have been in captivity for a longer duration. So we do expect more symptoms.
And that's physical, which obviously impacts on their mental, because deprivation of any sort can have short-term and long-term impact on mental acuity as well as emotion.
Sure. So you're quite right, because, of course, the initial euphoria of freedom then gives way to a very complicated template of emotional sequels, the trauma and the damage that will accompany these people as they try to recalibrate and refit into their old realities. Post their release. And hostage survivors classically present with what we know are post-traumatic stress disorder-like symptoms. Their presentation falls into the adjustment disorder category. We expect from them a lot of shock, anxiety, guilt about the, you know, the hostages that are still in captivity, depression, compromised concentration, confusion, intrusive thoughts, sleep problems, you know, feeling tremendously lost and dislocated, disoriented. You know, the world has moved and changed incredibly in these 15 months. And we find that the survivors of the hostage scenario often become very on edge or very withdrawn. If you think about it, let's start off with the intensity from the get-go of just the handover experience. You know, all of us have got etched into our minds that scenario of the pushing and the shoving, the jumping on vehicles, these masked, bandanaed, you know, thousand chanting, intimidating Hamas terrorists, such a scene of chaos, brandishing automatic weapons, you know, trying to create a path through for these three women. And then, you know, we throw into the mix of that these were ordinary people thrust into highly public eye. You know, we all know their names and their faces have become so familiar to us. The whole world has watched their reunions in their most vulnerable moments. And we can't forget that this is a very uninvited, very unsolicited form of celebrity. There's a lot of sensory overload. And I think what's so central, and I think all the treating doctors are rallying and calling for this exact thing, is the call for privacy.
Yeah.
As these hostages transition from the isolation of captivity to the first heady feelings of freedom, you know, they've moved from a place of, you know, every move monitored, accounted for, having to ask permission for everything. And I think that what we need to know, the world collectively, is that their healing should hands down be center stage. They need to be tended to. Their emotional scars are being carried internally. So yes, we saw them, you know, emerge from the vehicles, apparently standing on their own 2 feet, managing to walk. But nobody has an acute awareness yet of what each hostage has experienced. There's no one size fits all. No one hostage story is the same as another. So I really think some shielding from the media frenzy, the overexposure, and what we think about as that almost voyeuristic, predatory curiosity, despite our intense interest in their plight.
And care.
These people are not public fodder. They are not a news commodity. And I think there needs to be some sense of honoring that and stepping back. You know, not everybody wants to be on the speaking circuit, and they shouldn't be.
And we saw that. We've seen some of the hostages that have come out here. They're just ordinary people who have been through an experience. It doesn't make them speakers and motivators. But just a question, would it have helped them now in their healing, knowing that, well, the Jewish world certainly and friends of Jews around the world, the whole of Israel, has been caring for them, known about them. Would it be helpful to them?
No question about that. When they come close, you know, face to face and start uncovering the campaigns, the incessant and ongoing call for their release, and how people have rallied so powerfully around them, that of course will be a salve on the wound, an antidote for any feelings they might have felt of being forgotten to the world. That was not the case. But don't forget, it's a complex scenario they're coming back to. You know, there are major pockets in the world where there has been massive support of this terror organization and pro-Palestinian groups. So it's a complex new world that they are needing to acclimatize to. The other thing that I think is of great concern is they coming back to a world where they don't know who in their family has survived, friends who might have been murdered. And the you know, there's no neat closure here for these people. We know that they are a very at-risk group. They're a suicide risk. You know, we've seen that with Nova survivors.
Absolutely.
This is a group who really need to be treated with kid gloves. You know, our knowledge of this goes right back to the release of Gilad Shalit. Who spent his 5 years in captivity and was really granted the space to go on. He became a sports journalist. He went on to be married. And we have to really allow the hostages to continue with their lives. You know, heroism is a very heavy mantle to carry. And, you know, we put these people on a, these young women in particular, on a pedestal. Look how brave, look how amazing. We saw in particular the body language and the stance of Emily, almost like a swagger. But then if you notice, the presentation of the other two women were somewhat different. The angle of their shoulders, the way their disposition seemed completely
and that's an
different.
Indication and a clue maybe as to their approach. We are so over time, but it was so fascinating what you have had to say, and I really appreciate you giving us the time to talk this through. Sarene Kaplan is a clinical psychologist talking to us about the trauma experienced by the hostages, and of course we didn't even go into some of the other potential trauma that they would have had to endure, but the recovery. So in saying the most important thing now is almost nurturing them, giving them the privacy to be able to heal.